interrupting the current neo-Ukrainian climate challenge, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, alien-invaded, nuclear-glowing, postulated cricketism to bring behind a woodshed. This is Cricket Tude Busting Episode BTWRLM 615. And remember, being free is not a spectator sport, so get you behind a woodshed because you don't know what you missed until you make the switch and get you behind a woodshed for that dose of reality. And hot on the heels of last week or last couple episodes talking about this Chinese DeepSeek AI may make us free from the systems AI and just give us a tool to try. An offering here to expose more corporate graft and plunder, waste and fraud and abuse this week. Hot in the news. Here's how sanctions again are hurting China and Russia as they begin to work together because of them. A new blow to U.S. sanctions. Russia and China boost NVIDIA performance 800-fold. If you don't think RO or American tech without real good competition hasn't been scamming everybody. Scientists from the two countries have developed a breakthrough algorithm using information from reverse engineering video card accelerators. The algorithm allows gaming GPUs to be used for scientific computing. The innovation was achieved by specialists from Shenzhen MSUBIT University, co-founded by Lomonosov, Moscow State University, and Beijing Institute of Technology. This enables Russia and China to reduce their reliance on NVIDIA GPUs, weakening the impact of U.S. sanctions. It also means that Russia and China need to buy less NVIDIA GPUs, which likely led to the collapse of the NVIDIA stock price, Russia Association President Valentin Makarov tells Sputnik. He believes ongoing research includes new machine learning algorithms and the next-gen GPU being developed in Russia. These advantages highlight Russia's technological expertise, allowing collaboration with China and potential future partnerships with India. So there you go, spitting in the wind again. See, you're forcing people. I don't understand what, well, at least what we thought about the people, not we, the government thought about China. They got 1.5 billion people to pull from, to educate and pull from. Like, they're not going to have a good idea too. And then we see Russia on the other side, even smaller population, having at least the expertise to bring China along if they couldn't. And I'm thinking we're watching the capabilities bring on, all because the United States decided to spit into the wind of the hurricane and start putting sanctions on countries they wanted to take down and thought that they could. And had they only been listening behind the woodshed for 10 years before, I was showing you and explaining as the news popped in, little stories here and there, how Russia and China and a couple other countries were setting up so that couldn't happen. In fact, we, the American people, may have to insist that we go in that direction. And it might be that Trump can pull that along, but as I'm showing you, these folks, all these leaders, they're all a double-edged sword. Don't forget the unit party sits there in the deep, so-called deep state. Because we may hear the news that it's being vanquished. It's not. It's being changed a bit. But as we move into that this week, we're all excited, I guess, all giddy with how things are being cleaned up by Musk. The dynamic duo, Musk and Trump. But I'm trying to show you, be careful on what we are really getting. And I don't necessarily believe that it's a really a good thing in the end result. But in the meantime, things are being exposed and we get everybody excited. WikiLeaks bombshell. But I want you to always look at these words, bombshell. Why would this be a bombshell since we've known for decades and decades? Any of us that have been studying for decades and decades, this is really not a bombshell. Everybody knows all this. But WikiLeaks out of nowhere pops up. All of a sudden, pipes up and says, white and fluffy USAID, USAID, exposed as tool of economic warfare. Here we go again with the sanctions. They were sitting there the whole time. But anyway, there's a whole lot behind this USAID. And I'm going to have to suggest it's only the tip of, the tippiest tip of the iceberg of all this. But it's going to look good, and it needs to be done. But again, watch the stories. We'll take what we can get, but don't get overwhelmed by that it's all done. There are saviors, because I'm suggesting strongly to review that in yourself and see that they're really not. However, in the meantime, amid the buzz of DOGE, Doge, the chief, Elon Musk's words about USAID being a criminal organization, the world's top whistleblower website has dug up direct evidence to confirm as much. Again, why WikiLeaks is the only one here now that pipes up to give this information that's really on the record, been on the record for a long time, if anybody knew where to look. It's no different in my mind when I started reading the state codes and statutes and regulations and started realizing, well, there's a lot printed in these things, but nobody reads them. And where I had more and more read, if I looked around enough, it was made a bit confusing. But if you start digging through, you start making yourself an understanding of how things are laid out and how things are convoluted and how to take your cues. But anyway, we have WikiLeaks coming to the rescue here to confirm exactly what our hero and savior Musk is all about. And don't underestimate, I do believe that he's doing people a service. But it only goes so far. And that's the problem. That's what's going on. And you heard even with this exposure for USAID, the Doge digital systems that are being looked at to make the IT and digital systems of the federal government more efficient, are these investigations are told to us to only be a narrow targeting issue. So again, there's more. There's more than what we might even ever find out. But so much we get here, and this is good. We have now WikiLeaks bringing more evidence. Let's hope it's good. And apparently it is showing itself up. So we'll go with the, while USAID promotes itself as an agency promoting democratic values abroad and advancing a free, peaceful, and prosperous world, a leaked USA Army manual touts it as one means of applying economic power to persuade adversaries, allies, and surrogates to modify their behavior. Again, how many years have I been talking about that little phrase? Not even as a phrase, but as subject matters, to look at what they want in us and attempt in every way to get it. But here it is again, military, coming out of the mouth of the military. And we know from the Lieber Code, you know them when you see them. Military occupations can be looked at this way. They don't have to tell you that you're underneath a military rule. That brings out a whole lot of things. You could look at a system and not even know it's under military rule, as I've said before. And I looked at the United States, and I looked at the states, and I said, that looks like what's going on here. But then you go to the CIA website, and these states, so-called, are administrative states, not like the organic establishment, allied, if you will, states abroad each other, but in a federation. They were countries. So now we're administrative divisions, and the CIA World Factbook will tell you that. And that brings on another proof, well beyond what I'm saying here, but here we have the system inside understanding how to game the system. And there's been evidence, and here it is, USAID's placement abroad and its mission to engage human groups provide one channel for leveraging economic incentives in support of U.S. unconventional warfare efforts. The 2008 Special Forces Unconventional Warfare document states. Understand the word leveraging here. As I've said, I found out, this is in 2008, but when we were doing the study, right before the year of the 2009 or 11, doing the study in state law, dealing with the legislature and the laws they were bringing, that's how I identified what I deemed to be, what I called, and what is leveraged funding. It's how they essentially do special interest programs and agendas that they get you to pay for your own demise, essentially. It's a model. And so, as I told you a long time ago when I was explaining that, the lead up to our lawsuit, JMD's Jefferson Mining District's lawsuit, which got a default. No one answered. The Bar Association, the governor, the lead people in the government, the legislature, the political parties, both the Democrat and the political Republican Party, all defaulted on our conversation, our complaint relative to the subversion of subverting the state, the organic establishment, and imposing upon us things that were foreign rules. So this language I'm telling you here, leveraged economic incentives, is the leveraged funding that we found. And this is again found in around 2011 and so. Again, this was being spoken of. I didn't know about this in 2011, but it was already written in 2008. What I'm saying is that you go in and you watch what's going on, you can derive what they're doing. Now, whether or not you may identify it as a military operation is maybe a different step, but you can see things that people don't normally see. And this is what I try and do on this broadcast for whatever I hope worth it is to people. They look, peer through. You put clothes on their transparency to you, and you put them where they are because of what they do. It doesn't matter really what they say, though what they say can hit, or even for those of us that know a little bit more, they actually confess to us what they're doing. So here it is right here, leveraged economic incentives. It's no different than the leveraged funding that someone in a state, some organization in a state would go petition to get a special law for them to do, the ability to gain the money to get the appropriation that the government gives to then come in and do the work to again be taxed. The public gets taxed for their so-called service. And it all ultimately becomes a subversion. And when we look deep enough, we find it is the extension of the, what you now know as the SDGs, Sustainable Development Goals. And essentially, that's the only plan they have, but it's formidable, and it's already in your system. So when I'm looking here at this USAID, we're outing it. No, you're not. You're only a very smallest piece is only being outed. And everyone thinks it's out there, so the problem is solved. And I'm suggesting to you again, over and over, no, look back inside. What's happening out there is happening inside, but it may not look quite the same. So this article goes on, direct application of USAID grants to specific human groups can alter negative behaviors or cement positive affirmations. The Spec Ops doc also touts USAID's conflict assessment framework as an effective tool for informing programmatic, operational, and tactical level design and planning for military use. Elon Musk put USAID on the chopping block amid reports that the Department of Government Efficiency agents were physically blocked from accessing USAID's secure systems as part of DOGE's accounting of federal programs and spending. Speaking to this press on Sunday, President Donald Trump said USAID, quote, has been run by a bunch of radical lunatics, close quote, and promised to, quote, make a decision on the agency's future after getting them out. On Monday, Musk said Trump had agreed we should shut USAID down. We usually say USAID. So this brings up quite a question. We all think it's happening right now, and this has all been happening just since recently, but it really hasn't, and that's really my quandary in all this, on top of it all. So I responded through ex-Twitter to Truth Free Media comment that came through. And it read, behind all the pearl clutching, USAID's population program, created by LBJ in 1965, funneled money into sometimes coercive population control programs in developing nations for decades. Its director once openly admitted his goal was to sterilize one quarter of the world's women. And this was in response to Chief Nerd's post quoting Bill Gates as saying, I'm a little worried, particularly with this USAID stuff. My foundation partners with USAID on nutrition and getting vaccines out. Hopefully, we'll get some of that work back. If we don't, you could have literally millions of deaths. Now, I've heard a lot of people pick that up and say he's saying that there will be a bunch of pathogens released on the world, which could very well be, but that he doesn't really say that, and that's been made up, so be careful on that. But he says, the restriction of this, to put a finer point on what we think we were told USAID is supposed to do, without these services Bill Gates provides, more people will die. So we've never had an audit on that either, but moving on here. So relative to that, relative to the comment of the quarter of the population control, which is Bill Gates, you know, he's on video about TED Talk, the only question about solving climate change, the only changeable element is the population of the world. And you bring that to zero, he says, and so climate change is solved, he says. But I ask, and I'm trying to figure out why this has become news all of a sudden, and as an expose by our saviors only now. See, none of this is actually unknown, some of which you've heard behind the woodshed, like I said, from time to time. And here, P.T. Barnum Musk or Doge didn't actually uncover anything. It's why the WikiLeaks input caught my eye at all. What's the gameplay going on here? Again, TrueStream LBJ65 picks that up. USAID was started in 1961, I believe. So you can look up on it. This is a long-term thing. Both parties have been alive and doing things since 1961, and we don't hear a peep from the Republicans until now. And I have a little observation about that. And it, essentially, you're looking at a reorganization of the deep state, if you will, if we can call it that. The functions are being altered. We heard a little bit about that last episode. I think I have a tab that will talk a little bit more about that coming in. And there's a change-up going on, it seems to me. Again, all this is an interpretation, as I have told you, potentials and possibilities. What do these things we see, what could they be? Whether they are or not, just to prepare our mind on how things are going, we can adjust as we watch things become more and less important. We move them in, move them out, and it starts to focus us in real time what we might be facing with. We're not sitting there with a bunch of information that's just too much for us to handle all at once. We assimilate this information over time, and we adjust as we need to go. If we do that, then we're more prepared to understand what we're watching. And hopefully not, like I say, don't stand on those tracks when that train's on time. You can know not to be there. But in response to this, WikiLeaks and Elon Musk saying so, Trump suspends U.S. foreign assistance for 90 days pending reviews. So that title tells us that they're going to be looking at this thing. It's not really a done deal that USAID is gone. However, it sounds like they're, like a picture I saw, they're taking the words off the buildings now for USAID, and they're moving it. Actually, we'll find out. It's not being killed at all. It's being downsized tremendously, and he's doing what he said. He's getting rid of all this wokeness we heard, but that's not the only thing playing. That's just another narrative on top, and I'll hopefully get to the point where I'll show you the Republicans, in another term, are doing their own type of wokeness, and it's pretty universal. The Uniparty is universal in how they work things. It's just right now the one party is looking at the other. And if it hadn't been, I think, for the attack that's been done on Trump, maybe we would never hear this stuff. Because remember, Trump didn't release the JFK files originally, although he said he would. And that was a big heads up. And so something's changed as well. This nature is in him to write the record, if you will. And so that's a good thing for us, but it's not really honest either. Like I said, we'll take it because it's important. But it doesn't necessarily mean it was the honest thing to do, that every president should have been doing all this time. We shouldn't have had a Elon Musk come along and say, oh, I'm an efficiency expert, so I'm being tapped to do this. There should have been a whole lot of efficiency experts all the time all over this. We have agencies that are supposed to be doing this. And yet they're involved in the corruption as well, as we're finding out. So big revelations going on. And thank you to Elon Musk for it and Trump for it and all the people that are focused to do this. But understand, it's only a part. It's not the whole in the entire thing. And that's another concern. But President Trump, Donald Trump, signed an executive order temporarily suspending all U.S. foreign assistance programs for 90 days pending reviews to determine whether they are aligned with his policy goals. It was not immediately clear how much assistance would initially be affected by the Monday order on funding, for many programs had already been appropriated by Congress and is obligated to be spent, if not already spent. The order, among many Trump signed on his first day back in office, said that the foreign aid industry and bureaucracy are not aligned with American interests and in many cases antithetical to American values and serve to destabilize world peace, by promoting ideas of foreign countries that are directly inverse to harmonious and stable relations internal to and among countries. Now, if you've been listening to me any time, you realize he's using all the globalist words in there. Not all of them, quite a few. And then I'm going to hang up on the world, destabilizing world peace. Look around the world. Is it in peace? In large part, the United States is a cause of this turmoil. As I said, I wonder what the real value of a barrel of turmoil is. Maybe I should have invested in a bunch of that. Consequently, Trump declared that, quote, no further United States foreign assistance shall be dispersed in a manner that is not fully aligned with the foreign policy of the President of the United States. And again, we got these problems. What is an American interest? It's like, what's a national security interest? It's all talking in these euphemisms. Nobody really knows, and it's not ever really defined. And Trump is probably the best, if you will, the worst at being a random generator of information and concepts. I mean, just off the cuff. Sometimes that can be really good, but not necessarily when you have a bunch, the whole world and world leaders and countries that need to have some expectation of normalcy. I could say steady state, expecting certain things to be going on. And when you got a bunch of people with their red cherry buttons and there and the nuclear and all this other stuff going on, and we don't even know who's got attachments to that. When you see one day there's like in Syria, the is that we started, the United States and Israel started, is us. It becomes the government of Syria. What's going on there, right? I mean, this is just a geopolitical chaos. And that's, again, order out of chaos is one of the models of the United States. So it's not hard to go too far, but in this, again, this USAID thing, very important thing. I don't want to diminish it, but I want us to keep looking past it. It's not everything and all things. It is a question, how much? It's going to be an interesting question, too, if he's trying to make changes. Not that I'm going to agree at this point that what I'm looking at is it's just a reorganization of the same corruption, but it's going to be just a different task coming, a different purpose than what the United States has been sitting and doing. They're shifting that. So this becomes a very interesting opportunity to see how does a president actually administer the government he's the executive of. And I'll be interested to see what turns out with some of these challenges that are coming because of this. But Secretary of State Marco Rubio told members of the Soren Senate Foreign Relations Committee during his confirmation hearing last week that every dollar we spend, every program we fund, and every policy we pursue must be justified with the answer to three questions. Does it make America safer? Does it make America stronger? And does it make America more prosperous, he says. The order signed by Trump leaves it up to Rubio or his designee to make such determinations in consultation with the Office of Management and Budget. The State Department and the U.S. Agency for International Development, USAID, are the main agencies for overseas foreign assistance. Trump has long railed against foreign aid despite the fact that such assistance typically amounts to roughly 1% of the federal budget, except under unusual circumstances such as billions in weaponry provided to Ukraine. Trump has been critical of the amount shipped to Ukraine to help bolster its defense against Russian invasion, but look at what he's just done. He says, well, we'll give you more weapons if you give us a trade for those minerals. But that Russia is in control of at this point because they were too stupid to leave it alone and tried to invade and did invade the government in the United States, invaded the government through Newland in 2014. And so they've lost most of those valuable minerals to begin with. So there's not even a bargaining chip there. And it's going to be just another insult by Trump. In a way, I don't know who he's got around for advisors, but they can't be all that good. For whatever it might be that Trump understands, it seems like he's doing some major blunders, and now he's kind of covering that up with bullying a bit and doing things that I don't think Russia's not being faithful. But anyway, we'll see how this works out. The last official accounting of foreign aid in the Biden administration dates back to mid-December in a budget year 2023. It shows that $68 billion had been obligated for programs abroad that range from disaster relief and health and pro-democracy initiatives in 2004 countries and regions. So read pro-democracy initiatives. That might be Soros, you think? Yeah. And so we have, look at this money, $668 billion. That would have helped a lot of people in the United States get us back on, don't you think? Since when you realize what's going on, the exposure here is this regime change purpose that the USAID is. And so that's going to be looked at, and I think partly why it's being moved into the State Department. It's just going to change who has direct control over it and what they're going to be doing. It's not going to be going like it's been going in the past with the policies that the United States has gone on. They've understood they've been in error, and they've got to do something really quickly. Again, China and Russia have now gotten together, and that was not supposed to happen, although I don't know why anybody didn't think it would, given the sanctions and things that's been going on. The weaponization of the dollar was, as I said earlier on, the biggest mistake the United States really could have done. So the biggest recipients of U.S. aid are Israel, wouldn't you know? Egypt, interesting right there, and Jordan. when you were talking billion, 3 billion for Israel, 1.5 billion to 1.7 billion for Jordan and Egypt, they are likely to see a dramatic reduction as those amounts are included in long-term packages that date back decades and are in some cases governed by treaty obligations. And the recent, more recent news than this article is that Israel and Egypt were exempted by Rubio. And we then see in a future tab here what Trump was doing and the really outlandish, important story that comes out relative to Palestine, what they think, what he thinks is going to be going on. But anyway, we're on this USAID right yet. Funding for UN agencies, including peacekeeping, human rights, and refugee agencies have been traditional targets for Republican administrations to slash or otherwise cut. The first Trump administration moved to reduce foreign aid spending payments to various UN agencies, including the UN Population Fund and funding to the Palestinian Authority. However, the U.S. previously under Trump had already pulled out of the UN Human Rights Council with its financial obligations and has been barred from funding the UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees, or UNRWA, by a bill signed by the former President Joe Biden last March. So there's a little hint that there was some changing going on in the administration changes in the United States just by that paragraph right there. And an interesting little side story to this, although not so side, the UN Human Rights Council, the United States pulls out, and Israel steps up and says, well, we're not going to any longer participate with this council, and the UN came back and said, but you're not even a member. So this is a political front that Israel did. They're not even an actual member. There's quite a few people, countries that are, but there's a lot more that are not. They're just witnesses or observers of this council. And so there's a very interesting political play going on, trying to make points where really no point is to be made. And Israel got caught on that one here just last week. But here with this USAID, we get, after this is exposed a bit, we then pours out the analysis of now who the money laundering beneficiaries have been of this USAID organization, allowing us to connect up what they did, and certainly implying at least from this initial article I'll be getting to here, that the CIA, as the stories this week unfold, and its Siamese twin, the Mossad, look to be important in this USAID reorganization. It's an inside job that's going on, and that's what Trump is doing. So, again, I'm not thinking this guy's the savior. And in fact, the Israelis knock him down a step here. I'll get to that story too, from the Messiah to just a messenger of God. And so we see the adjustments going on. But this guy, and here's what I think is going on. This guy's being moved out from the pasture to be rendered, I think, USAID Soros secret cash cow. Soros's secret cash cow. In the U.S., taxpayer money fueling George Soros' global influence here, let's find out as we go through a list of things that have been going on for a long time. This didn't happen since Biden. It just didn't happen since Obama. No, this is a long-term thing. And as I said, be careful of what we vilify Soros relative to what the government's been, he's been helping the government and they've been using him. And here's the evidence of that part. U.S. conservative think tank The Heritage Foundation claimed in 2017 that George Soros' Open Society Foundations had been made the main implementer of the USAID's aid since at least 2009. But it wasn't when it started, at least, or the beginning of it. But the Soros-USAID collaboration began much earlier, and a 1993 USAID document shows the agency signed an agreement with the Soros Foundation Management Training Program to train 30 professionals from Bulgaria, Estonia, Poland, Romania, and Slovakia. In the late 1990s and early 2000s, a series of color revolutions shook Eastern Europe, with George Soros' network of NGOs playing a central role in the unrest. In 2003 to 2004, Soros' International Renaissance Foundation partnered with USAID, USAID, to support Ukraine's Orange Revolution. Prior to that, the U.S. spent $54.7 million in 2003 and $34.11 million in 2004 on democracy programs in Ukraine through various agencies, including USAID. So we're softening up the target for the 2014 coup, aren't we? Well, Soros is not just some guy out there, just some financier. He's a main player here. He's the guy that had the ability to make the organizations. He had the contacts in Europe. He has the pedigree, if you will, in the background of this. And so I'm sure there's a lot of people that would be conservatives in the intelligence industry, if there is such a thing there, that would honor him because of the work that he has done and why he was given a medal. Even though we would look at that and say, well, he's been trying to tear down America. Right, exactly. That's part of the plan. And he's part of these, part of the organization of these, he's part of the establishment of the organizations that take us down, as I've been talking for years and years. So moving on to what he's done. Again, these people that came out of nowhere, you cover him up with being a financier that made, did good. Well, you can then funnel a whole lot of money through him. Kind of like what looks like to me for Elon Musk. Where'd he come from with all this? How'd he do this so quick? That's pretty marvelous when you think about that, someone being able to do that, but really, is that how that worked? Or are we looking at the new system coming on? And I think that's really what we're looking at. The U.S. Legal Watchdog Judicial Watch revealed in April 2018 that USAID sponsored Soros' globalist agenda in Guatemala. Now, understand, you say this is Soros' globalist agenda, but he's just implementing the one that's existing. You heard in 2008, the military looking at this this whole USAID thing as a power use, a harmonious tool. Okay, so this was all in play altogether. Whether we all knew this or not, it's really irrelevant. It's being exposed now. And while, if we get too locked into this, oh, we caught them. We're going to miss the real game going on, I think. But here, here's what Soros is doing for America. For as much as he might be vilified, as much as we may be distasteful, but we hear these regime change things, and I don't like to hear it. I don't want to see it. I come from a different type of cloth, I guess. And so it's kind of hurtful, if you will, to even see that this is what's been going on to other people. We're supposed to be so great as America. Well, why didn't we do it greatly? No. We went and we destroyed them. We subverted their countries for whatever reasons that the United States thought was a national interest, well, like a Trump interest, a president's interest. Soros' globalist agenda was the CIA, was the government's, was the Mossad's world agenda. Imposing Guatemala in a total OSF reportedly spent around $100 million fomenting unrest in Latin America between 2015 and 2018. Isn't that what they just bought West Bank and Gaza destruction for, $100 million? It must be a nice round figure. In October, not USAID, the campaign donations, they call them. In October of 2018, the watchdog obtained documents indicating that USAID partnered with Soros to fund radical left-wing activists in Albania. In 2016, USAID reportedly allocated $9 million to campaign overseen by Soros' East-West Management Institute. So this guy's a big manager, right? He's just a people manager for human groups. We already heard the term relative to this USAID. He was just happened to be the guy that could pull it off, and they found his talent, and they've been using it. And they still use it up until just now recently, and now we're watching the shift and the change. And things are being moved around. The deck chairs are being moved. To illustrate the scale of funds managed by Soros-linked initiatives, in 2004, then-President Joe Biden requested nearly $30 billion for USAID in 2025. And so we move into who's underneath all this, guiding this along. And this story all pops up again. These came together as the subject matter becomes apparent to everybody now and brought forward because WikiLeaks gives us the proof because our savior, P.T. Barnum Muskrat, said so. I just want of the mind that anybody with an intention that given the access could do the same thing. But no, they're focusing now on, with these guys to move it along. And we're gonna go vilify a group of people. All the collaborators now are being dealt with, and we're moving into the next, another, a different phase. And I think it's because they found out that the United States methods have failed. Their old methods, they don't have a scope, a grasp of what the world has been doing or going. And the other parts of the world see that as the other problem. And so we're watching a shift. It's a pretty monumental historic thing going on, I think. Not because Trump is great, but because I think it's what has to happen relative to what's going on. And they needed Trump to pull this off as well, bringing us back to the election. Kamala was never meant to be there, right? And how this all worked out. But it was a fascinating watch and a pretty exciting time, wasn't it? For those of us that may have been so enamored. You've heard me behind the woodshed, not so much. I'd like to see it work. I'd like to see us work it out and go a different route than what I would say. Maybe the world's not just able to do that. I don't know. I thought it was. I always thought it was. But we're watching different. We're watching deception all the time. They'll tell you the truth, but only partial truth. Not the whole truth, as they say. Yakuza's killings, mind control and torture, CIA's global criminal empire exposed. So how are they going to be able to do this but through, again, instrumentalities like a USAID and someone they can use to as a people manager, essentially, someone who's trusted his experiences, that he's trusted with the large amounts of money to manage it very well. And so they found their man, if you will. President Trump's purge and revamp, here it is, of the America's coup plotting, dirty war waging, illegal spying, torture loving, assassination obsessed intel agency won't whitewash its history. This is the record. And I don't only think it's going to be a little bit of it. And so we'll just understand what we're dealing with. The long memory of this, what's going on, will not be vanquished just by some executive orders. In fact, I'm watching, it's seeming to me they're being, again, they say revamped here. It's a reorganization going on right under everybody's noses. And it's being put up. If, again, not, Trump's not here forever. Well, not even if they do the constitutional amendment that they want to get in. But anyway, he's going to be gone after a while. And so it'll be a matter of who comes after him. We'll have the reins of this, the tiller of this new boat after the iceberg hits, maybe not. We'll see. It'll patch that thing up, and someone will have the helm of it, at the command of the helm in the future. They'll be using this tool. But the CIA from 1947 to 1949, it wasn't just yesterday, and it wasn't just 1990 to 2000 with Soros. This is a long-term understanding of how things get done. Now we can watch just a summary of what's going on and what they'll do and listen how comparative it is to what we watch through USAID. AID here, the CIA funneled arms and cash to Greece to fuel a civil war against partisans who freed the country from the Nazis. In 1948, the CIA used all feasible means to save Italy's pro-US government in rigged elections. In 1953, the CIA and MI6 couped Iran after it nationalized its oil, installing a puppet who reigned until 1979. In 1954, Guatemalan President Jacob Arbenz was couped after threatening the United Fruit Company banana interests. Talking about banana republics, it followed us home. In 1950s, the USSR, the GDR, Poland, China, and DPRK accused the CIA of introducing invasive pests to undermine food security. The agency also airdropped fleas and mosquitoes to see if they could spread disease. But you thought it was only Bill Gates had those wild ideas. Where do you think he got them? Again, these people become the agents, and they get propped up. Where do they get their money? Well, this is an expose of all how that happens, all behind the scenes. It makes sense now how people come out of nowhere and have money to do something. Soros did it pretty slick. Claimed to be able to advance an idea on the market, a theory on the market, to capitalize it, got his money, and now he's got lots of money, and nobody knows, understands what he's doing. And then they can funnel through him everything they wanted. After Fidel Castro came to power in Cuba in 1959, the CIA concocted literally hundreds of plots to kill him, from an exploding cigar to fungus-infected diving suits, a poison pen, and just hiring the mafia to rub him out. In 1962, the DOD and CIA hatched a plot to stage a false flag attacks in U.S. cities to blame Cuba and justify an invasion. JFK rejected the plan. The CIA later targeted Cuba using terrorism, including the 1976 bombing of a civilian airliner that killed 73. But right after 1962 JFK rejection, JFK was rejected, if you remember. And so we bring our point, our connection back up. Remember, this is a narrative that's playing out in the USAID. Yes, there's truth. Yes, things are being uncovered, but it's not the whole truth. And at that point, we get in the same week in the news when it's all coming in time, the CIA analyst comes here to please this situation to tell us what is going on and what's happened. USAID, they're driving the nail in the coffin home, right? USAID and NED done for Ukraine project lost, ex-CIA analyst explains to us. So these NEDs that came up, I was discussing behind the woodshed, if you look back now, you start to see these agencies became more and more prominent, more and more in news, more and more mentioned, and then we see the guillotine drop, or at least the amount that they're going to cleave from the excess baggage and collaborators they don't need anymore. It's been a hell of a week in politics so far, with Elon Musk and the Doge going after Washington's favorite soft power tools, USAID and the National Endowment for Democracy, while President Trump proposed tying future U.S. aid to Ukraine to its rare earth riches. Sputnik asked veteran retired CIA analyst Larry Johnson to help unpack events. With USAID and NED neutered, not killed, not dead, not gone, neutered, the big reason behind Ukraine crisis is gone. I think she is right now facing prospects of becoming just increasingly irrelevant because the foundation for supporting the war in Ukraine is disappearing, Larry Johnson said. Ukraine taught us limitations of its own power. The United States has been shown the limitations of its own power after picking a fight with Russia, Johnson said as well. Trump wouldn't be demanding Ukraine rare earths if he just looked at the map. And this is where the embarrassments begin. I've been told Trump knows a lot more than he's saying. He's a lot more savvy. This one gives people the idea he's playing 5D chess, but this was a very poignant little observation. Anybody who looks at a map relative to the mineral locations will see Trump's demand to be frivolous. Nothing but it going to incite trouble and problems. And I'm not sure why he wants to do it that way. But anyway, Russia, Larry Johnson goes on to say, Russia controls Donetsk, Lugansk, and it's going to be taking control of Zaporizhia, Kherson. So where the rare earth metals are located is not under Ukraine control at all. So we see fractures going on here. The CIA coming out to mention what this USAID and NED condition, it's being revamped, it's being changed, it's being neutered. Well, it's neutered where it was functioning. It's not going to be, in my mind, as I was looking and watching how this proof starts to work out and what Trump did, it's going to change its spot. It's still going to be its own sneaky self, I suppose. But to that point, and the things that are going on with USAID and then Trump turning around for Ukraine, which had its own money laundering system going through USAID to Ukraine as well. USAID will continue to regime change ops on behalf of the CIA, says a former U.S. Marine. So the military's here to tell us now, too, and confirm these things are in play and in transition. The USAID's controversial activities, along with its partnership with George Soros, Open Society, and similar entities, have been exposed in recent years for alternative journalists or by alternative journalists, making them increasingly difficult for the public to ignore, former U.S. Marine Brian Barlechnik tells Sputnik. So this is completely in line, these links were completely in line with what I'm watching and thinking for myself. I'm suggesting they were identifiable, but we're now seeing the so-called ex-system people coming to tell us that's what's going on. And what do they have to lose to tell us what they're cutting, what fat they're cutting loose now, what capabilities they're no longer going to need? They can make that public, and they can use it to enamor people to say, well, look, we are finding the graft, the corruption, and we're going to get rid of it. But that's not the whole it. Barlechnik suggests that that has created the need for rebranding aimed at protecting and streamlining the organization's work. He believes the ongoing reform seeks to create a left, right, and liberal conservative divide in response to growing partisan opposition to United States interference abroad. Are you following this accurately here? He's reporting this accurately as I can tell. Are you following it the same way? Again, they're letting us know what's going on. This is not a secret. But what are we going to consider? We just go, okay, we see that. Oh, that's right. Then we go back to sleep. And that's what these folks want. By claiming these organizations are bad because they are liberal, the Trump administration can rebrand it as conservative and American first, bringing at least part of the American population back on board to support it and its activities as they rehide it as well. He didn't say there. The pundit emphasizes that the USAID coup plotting will continue either under the auspices of other agencies or George Soros' global network of NGOs. Whether this regime change takes place under USAID is transferred back to the CIA, which originally carried out the activities USAID assumed upon its creation, or the U.S. begins depending more on private foundations, including Open Society. The main point to understand is that it will continue nonetheless, and I would suggest maybe not with Open Society. It's got too much, and I think on purpose, got too much visibility. We'll see. Point is, doesn't matter. They're going to continue. This guy's telling us that it's going to, logically it makes sense they're going to continue. They have too much to lose. The United States' national interest is too much to lose this network. It's just not going to go through in the way that it has been. They're watching this sea change relative to the attitude of people in all countries and this so-called Green New Deal stuff. The SDG, these Sustainable Development Goals, the behavioral control conditions. But you notice what they're not getting off of is this digital infrastructure that seems to be nobody really is stopping, which Elon Musk is prime position to be able to bring in, actually, as I've said before, prior on broadcast. He notes, Barlechnik notes, the U.S. makes no secret of its plans to continue regime change operations against Iran, Venezuela, and possibly even Panama. The White House isn't even talking about the actual subject of foreign interference as an issue of USAID activities, and instead is complaining about wasteful programs connected to the political wedge issues like DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, he said. And so I found this highly consistent with what my thoughts were. He says it's in print, and so we just take this one to the bank. We're being told what's going on, and again, Trump is right there. If you think he's all getting rid of wokeness, well, maybe not, because they still have to go through all the same things that they're doing. They're just going to not use those costumes that they have been in the past. And as Trump said, the hit here on USAID is a targeted hit. Kind of confirms all that, meaning there's just much more corruption. That's not going to see the light of day. And the U.S. takes, as this U.S. United States government takes on water and trying to deal with that multipolarity by adjusting from unilateral regime change to coerce allies and pay tariffs here instead. He's doing a little different shifting. And with P.T. Barnum's influence and the techno-swamp positioning, they're advancing advanced weapon sales such as drones, and and as an aside, Musk's suggestion that drones need to be made and warehoused to be ready for war is faulty in my consideration. Ukraine is a conflict showing that drones, being a creature of technology, are vulnerable to rapidly improving counter technology, and they must be made almost to order as the changing technology makes a prior drone version obsolete. We're watching that right now. So Musk, by his suggestion for the next war, is admitting his intention to war and is not going to use any genius that he might muster instead to make peace or advocate for it, or ostensibly, as was promoted by Nikola Tesla. The Teleforce inventions, which Tesla said will make war impossible, for it will surround any country using this means with an impenetrable, invisible wall of protection. As I've touched back on Tesla and touched back on the promotion of Tesla and these inventions, and you know, a lot of those can be hidden, but why is it Musk turning to that? He's got a lot of creative people around him, but he's not the guy. Why aren't they making war impossible? Instead of advocating, oh no, we got to build drone warehouses and get ready to go send them somewhere. And so, I don't know, this again, this guy's a double-edged sword, the anti-hero, I just, all I can tell you. He's a false prophet, if you will, about what needs, you think it's reasonable. Maybe it is, if we're going to agree that we're just forever warmongering. And who knows, maybe we are, you know, maybe we're not, maybe there's no peace on earth. Maybe there are no, maybe that's why the peacemaker, the real peacemaker, is honored. Not the one but in name only, in words only. Now, the genius Musk didn't offer more than making more technology to make more war. So I'm a little suspect. So I also find Trump's suggestion to build a defensive shield around America interesting on this, as I bring up Teleforce invention by Dr. Nikola Tesla. But the anomaly, the falling short, the unenlightenment that goes on, the unenlightened and the not restated, even impliedly by Musk, to do a Teleforce protection. Or to give us an impression that any of them want to alter the current military-industrial complex mentality, and to avoid the same waste, fraud, and abuse that they're finding, or to come, as we now hear Trump saying Elon's moving on to the Pentagon. Maybe we'll find out where that $21 trillion went. Maybe not. We'll see. We haven't found the limits yet, but we also know that Trump said these are targeted hits, so not everything is going to really be available. In fact, there was a lawsuit that is now an injunction against Doge and Trump not being able to look at certain files. So this might be more and more built into the system that we're only going to be given the things that they want us to know, and it's the things that they're discarding themselves. But Trump declared not a Teleforce dome, but an Iron Dome missile defense shield. Likely the same expensive, vulnerable one used by Israel that we've already seen and heard, and vulnerable to hypersonic weapons, as we've already seen and heard. Otherwise, here, the humanist technocrat that he is, maybe Musk thinks he can use a neural link to fix people, that war is impossible. And he's not looking back to the future, which hasn't yet been proven or not, that Nikola Tesla said he could do. Well, if he couldn't, we got some brilliant minds. Maybe they could. Why don't we make war impossible? Except for the military-industrial complex that we've been told and warned about, isn't it? But a reference here to the much bigger, larger corruption, USAID being the mere tippiest tip of the iceberg, which the USS Uniparty long ago collided with Trump, now are rearranging the deck chairs. The ship of state soon to be crashing on AI beaches more efficiently, they tell us. Remember what Musk's Doge really is, to replace all those eliminated federal jobs with AI. Yes, eliminating the bloat is the right thing to do, but look very closely. It's only deck chairs being moved about more efficiently. Leading with the admitted funding thefts through Ukraine, then referencing USAID as its inspiration and the potential consequence for doing this exposure, as I reminded as well that they kill collaborators or eat their own as they monopolize power. Russia's defense minister, Dmitry Medvedev, responded in a fit of candor. The Bandera regime's boss admitted that he and his cronies had siphoned off $100 billion. I guess they added a couple zeros to the $100 million. He played coy like the bashful thief Alkin with Ilf and Petrov's The 12 Chairs. Those billions, never saw them. Go ask old man Biden where they went. A brazen and cynical lie, of course. The $100 billion lined the pockets of all kinds of kleptocrats from Washington to Kiev, gobbling on the pile of cash were the deep throats at the U.S. Department of Defense, CIA, and military contractors. As the amount was humongous, they took their time, going at it with unabashed enjoyment. The plundering spree continued in Kiev with billions stolen in both cash and weapons, which are now popping up all over the globe. What's next? Nothing. The thieves will pardon themselves. Biden has already started the process. Even Elon's naive yet respectable attempts to investigate ideologically camouflaged theft at USAID, as well as corruption and aid to the failed state of Ukraine, will come to naught. There will be condemnations voiced, fists shaken, Senate hearings held, uninvolved parties fired, and that's all. Aid to Kiev will continue under a reissue of the Reagan motto, peace through strength, and Washington's trained political midgets will again be propped up through the color revolutions dancing to the tune of U.S. national interests. And the insatiable deep throat of the deep state will continue to service all of its depraved clients. And along the theme of thieves, or worse, will pardon themselves, Trump signs an order imposing sanctions on International Criminal Court over investigations of Israel. President Donald Trump signed an executive order imposing sanctions on the International Criminal Court over the investigations of Israel, a close U.S. ally. Neither the U.S. nor Israel is a member of the recognizes the court, which has issued an arrest warrant for Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu for alleged war crimes over his military response in Gaza after the Hamas attack against Israel in October 2023. Tens of thousands of Palestinians, including children, they're not innocent, folks. They're no innocent people in Palestine, especially the children, have been killed during the Israeli military response. The order Trump signed Thursday accuses the ICC of engaging in illegitimate and baseless actions targeting America and our close ally Israel and of abusing its power by issuing baseless arrest warrants against Netanyahu and his former defense minister Yoav Gallant. Quote, the ICC has no jurisdiction over the United States or Israel, the order states, adding that the court had set a dangerous precedent with its actions against both countries. Is that the real objection? How about any country? And wasn't the dangerous precedent already set a couple of times? See, Trump's ICC sanction is another shameful incongruity regarding not mentioning the same thing happening to Putin in Russia. The U.S. officially condemning Putin in the same position. It's just no class. There's a complete hypocrisy. At least Trump can be honest across the board, not merely for those stuffing his campaign coffers. So this is not like 5G chess, like I've heard. It's dishonest, and it's disrespectful, at least. And I think Trump lost a valuable initiative in not coming clean on this. I agree to listen to five judges who want to interpret international law for us, as most people don't seem to want to. And I didn't mind hearing what they had to say, especially when it's consistent with the international law I read, and they were just restating it. I'll accept those statements from 15 people. Whether or not there's jurisdiction attached. If there's not jurisdiction, it's not valid. If there's not no jurisdiction, what are they worried about that they have to put on sanctions? But to only say that it's because against the United States and Israel and not turn around and notice that lots of other countries aren't affiliated or subject to the jurisdiction of ICC and calling those out is really disgraceful. And again, I think Trump lost a valuable initiative. He could actually have maybe softened up a little bit diplomatically. Diplomacy would have softened the Russian side just a bit. Maybe caused him to look a little bit more rational relative to what they need to see. They're not in a secret about that. This is BTWRLM 615. And moving into and this ongoing adjustment that's going on, the revamping, the reorganization, how this is going to play out in the future, and the possibilities and potential that the news, the notice, the news to us is telling us all about, it seems. We haven't gone away from the CIA implementation of all this either. The Google AI's weaponization could help trigger flash wars escalating too quickly to stop. This is another plan, apparently. But let's read for this story. Google chipped further away at its defunct Don't Be Evil motto this week, dropping a passage from its principles on AI development, committing not to use the technology for weaponry or surveillance. A leading independent cybersecurity expert told Sputnik why the move is fraught with grave risks. AI systems may interact with other network-connected infrastructure in unpredictable ways, veteran independent cybersecurity expert and digital strategy specialist Lars Hills explained. Quote, this unpredictability could potentially trigger flash wars, which escalate too quickly for the human mind to comprehend and for the human being to intervene, Hills said, highlighting the immense risks of handling defense-related issues over an AI to manage. Let me offer and reiterate what I hit up last episode, that Google got, $1.2 billion to aid the Israelis, as well as Microsoft got their billion or whatever. And so this is already using their AI to pull this off. This is not unknown. And this is almost just a restatement of what this gentleman is telling us, is a restatement of what we already have witnessed. Again, the notice in the news can tell us a whole lot. But now it's being more confirmed, and we're getting an expert, someone who's in their field, looking and telling us exactly what we saw for ourselves. We can trust what we see. The story's not that bizarre that we can't understand it. And I'm suggesting we need to understand these things ahead of time, as we see them coming at us, so they don't begin to overwhelm us. As I say, they're going to come at you in different ways at home. Watch what they're doing out there. Google is global, and so they're where you are if you use their stuff, and it's really hard if you don't have a de-Googled Android phone for sure. You know, do your best. It's very difficult. I know we're focused at the network to try and slowly wean ourselves off of all that and move ourselves into something that's even Windows. Windows, Microsoft, Google, all these things. It's being very difficult. They keep adjusting. So, report here goes on. That's not to mention the proliferation threat, the analyst who recently authored a book, Dominance of the Digital Battlefield, dedicated to these very issues, said. So, remember, it was the Internet Battlefield of Things I've reported on years ago now. This is, I guess, the book that he's been written to remind us about that. Humanity is only starting to understand the dangers and unknown risks associated with AI's weaponization, Hill said. And particularly in time where global conflict is imminent, we might want to resort to leaving the genie in the bottle for now. Well, we've already heard the OpenAI gov model is going to the government, different than the one they're going to give you, which is subject to scrutiny on the backside of that. So understand this, and why DeepSeek AI out of China open source is so important than any other open source type of technology. And I would hope people are looking in that know what they're looking at to look behind and unpack all that to be able to verify that it is fairly well secure, and that where it's not recoded so that it can be. And we, the people, start to do our own intelligence gathering, the things that we can use in order to use an AI, because things will be coming so fast. In fact, the looking at the news the last couple of weeks, I'm just, with the limited amount of time I can put together and the fault and the problems that creep up and the failures of systems and things, it's so overwhelming to even know where to begin and talk about it. So, again, I ask periodically, am I bringing this stuff that you want to see? If you've got any suggestions, let me know, because it's just so much to cover that it is becoming overwhelming. And I don't know, when there's not much reflection, then it's really difficult to know what direction to take or that to take. And so this week has been, everything is happening so fast and so furious with the information. I can't even cover all the important points that are going on inside of what I see. So I'm just going to try and keep going and just skip over the surface of these things. But there's so much behind it. And I hope I'm giving the information as I see it to allow us to look at the news just as it approaches us wherever you are. You can then apply these things as you see them, the things that come important to you. That's your special skill and talent. That's the voice speaking to you. And you may be able to pull out these things too, and you likely already do if you've listened to me any time. You're already maybe ahead of me on lots of areas. I can't do much of this, and nor am I interested to be that knowledgeable. There's just too much. That's why I realize that a lot of content providers need to show up, like to RLM, and start doing broadcasts to let people know what you know. Not what you think you know. Put it together, put it in a package, and tell people regularly what's going on. And I can only hope there's that remnant, if you will, that remnant that does pick it up, and we have a place to go, because otherwise the broad spectrum of society is not capable. And we saw that at the great Kobe swindle. And I'm still a bit disappointed. I see all this censorship talk. All these people want to talk about what they know so many years hence of the great Kobe swindle, but none of them talk about still today how they're going to avoid whatever next thing comes up. And so there's not much I'm feeling too excited about. But important stuff's going on. We're watching an historic time, big deal going on. But I think we're watching the government just changing the deck chairs relative to the ship of state that we're running on. And so it'll excite a lot of people. But we have some truths coming through this week relative to these exposés that are only partial. This article says, why did Google do it? The Observer isn't surprised that Google's policy shift, the recalibration, dictated to the need to align with market realities and geopolitical demands and the insanely lucrative nature of the defense market. Boy, wasn't USAID lucrative for people that could get in on it? And what was it about? Just like this. So, again, Google is not helping you. And to align with market realities and geopolitical demands is exactly what I confirmed, what I was telling you. This is a reorganization of what the CIA needs through USAID or a part of it and other things that are there that we may not know about it or never know or are coming that they know about. So this is another confirmation from another viewpoint and subject matter of the tools that are coming at being used against us. Google's new policy means it will be able to participate with the highly lucrative defense contracts and government surveillance projects and strengthen its position in the AI race, particularly against the Chinese competitors, Hill said. The policy shift indicates a broader realignment of Silicon Valley with national defense aspirations and may even suggest that the previous ethical barriers to military AI development are being systematically removed industry-wide to allow for the quicker reaction to market shifts in this, again, extremely lucrative and previously unexplored field of business, the expert summed up. So there's a lot in that paragraph there to dissect. But here we have the reorganization, the realignment. They suggest the government's changed its position. The way they're going to be coming at us is going to be probably a lot more subtle. I can suggest that. And again, if you don't have it exercised your muscle of discernment, it's going to be, it may be lost to you. And my whole point is not that you don't have something to say and that don't follow, search and research, that you want to focus in on the things that are the important things. You've got to really weed through the wheat from the chaff. It's important here to be able to separate really quickly. But Google removes ban on weaponizing AI. Another story I just want to touch, they have a little bit different take on this, little different things they're mentioning. In a reverse of previous policy, the tech giant will now permit the technology to be used for developing arms and surveillance tools. Google has significantly revised its artificial intelligence principles, removing earlier restrictions on using the technology for developing weaponry and surveillance. So, again, as I was saying about Elon Musk and technocrats and the techno swamp, they're looking to go and build weaponry. They're not putting genius into stopping making war impossible. Now, I know that sounds like a big aspiration on its own, but, you know, if we're not thinking about it, how are we going to ever get there anyway? No, they're planning for this high-technology, lucrative, military-industrial complex-aligned condition to work into the future. Elon Musk might say, oh, the future wars are going to be done with drones, is a truism. I mean, that's where it has to go. And people can't fight in that arena, if you will. And we're watching the evidence of it as ham-handed as they're learning about drones and their capabilities. You're watching destructive actions by very small devices, very fast small devices that almost can't be stopped at this point. So you're watching the future. You're watching what these people, these technocrats are wanting to do, what these techno-swamp wants to be done. You're watching the system reorganize itself, realign, revamp, reorganize the deck chairs on the same military boat, I guess. Still sailing in toward that iceberg, because that's where it ends up going. You can't not do this forever. Your society has to be changed over time, and it will be changed. And it's usually not very good, not a good thing. The update announced on Tuesday alters the company's prior stance against application that would cause overall harm. In 2018, Google established a set of AI principles in response to the criticisms over the involvement of military endeavors, such as the U.S. Department of Defense project that involved the U.S. use of AI to process data and identify targets for military operations. The original guidelines explicitly stated that Google would not design or deploy AI for use in weapons or technologies that could cause direct fatality injury to people or for surveillance that violates international accepted norms. And consider what they're saying there. They're removing the requirement to follow the international norms. That's international law. Norms are law. It's not really law, but it's how governments understand each other in their dealings with each other. They're removing this requirement to adhere to international norms is nothing more than aligning with the rules-based order. So we're not seeing anything different here going through all this in this adjustment that tech is starting to do. The latest version of Google's AI principles, however, have scrubbed these points. Instead, Google's DeepMind CEO, Demis Hazabis, and senior executive of technology society, James Manukia, has published a new list of the tech giant's core tenets regarding the use of AI. They include a focus on innovation and collaboration and a statement that democracies should lead in AI development guided by core values like freedom, equality, and respect for human rights. Not much more than the DEIs are saying that they're claiming they're getting rid of now. When you apply them through the language that I've told you you'd listen for, where these code words are used. Again, hopefully when you get this language, you read differently. I hope I'd read differently enough to see what they're actually saying. This is not good. And this is integrated so quickly. Again, this is almost moving like an AI in a way, the way this transition is happening. Margaret Mitchell, who had previously co-led Google's ethical AI team, told Bloomberg that removal of the harm caused may suggest that the company will now work on deploying technology directly that can kill people. If we didn't look at what they're doing and didn't figure that out already. According to the Washington Post, the tech giant has collaborated with the Israel. See, Soros collaborated. Now his time has come. They're getting rid of all that infrastructure. Right? See, there the collaborators are getting taken out. The tech giant has collaborated with the Israeli military since the early weeks of the Gaza War, competing with Amazon to provide artificial intelligence services. Shortly after the October 2023 Hamas attack on Israel, Google's cloud division worked to grant the Israeli Defense Forces access to AI tools despite the company's public assertions of limiting involvement to civilian government ministries, the paper reported last month, citing internal company documents. So they don't even follow, this company doesn't even follow its own policies. They just got so embarrassed that they had to change them. As I said before, it's embarrassment, not out of any moral principle they do this stuff. In fact, those policies allow you to accept the harm to come by thinking that these folks think like you do, that they care for you, they care for people. They don't. They care for profit. It's lucrative, he said. That was the only standard that cybersecurity experts stated, only lucrative to them. Google's reversal of its policy comes amid continued concerns over the dangers posed by AI to humanity. Jeffrey, humanistic, okay? Humans. They're treating you like animals anyway. So, Jeffrey Hinton, the pioneering figure in AI and recipient of the 2024 Nobel Prize in Physics, warned late last year that the technology could potentially lead to human extinction within the next 3 decades, a likelihood he sees of being up to 20%. I would say maybe The Matrix is not a movie, and we might be seeing a different outcome there. However, I guess opinions could vary. Hinton has warned that the AI systems could eventually surpass, cause catastrophic harm to humanity. He has urged significant resources be allocated towards AI safety and ethical use of the technology, that the proactive measures be developed. And I think something like a open DeepSeek AI may be one of those measures. And instead of trying to put the government and government more subsidy into USAID to do this, we'd be better to not do it and figure out that we need to get it done on our own. How the CIA spawned Google. So these stories came right together, all USAID. They're telling us now the transition's happening. Techno swamp is being filled. Nothing's being drained from the swamp. The creatures that are, or the old creatures are dying off, and the new evolution is happening. America tech giant Google has faced regulatory scrutiny on numerous occasions amid accusations of antitrust violations. Google's relationship with the CIA, ranging from early financial support to collaborative efforts, have been decried as undermining privacy rights and free speech in the digital landscape. Google's creation played a crucial role in U.S. intelligence community's scheme to attain global dominance by controlling information. This is all we're hearing about what AI is really doing behind the scenes of it as well. As they've, again, it evolves into the creature that it's always been, but fortified on steroids. How it started. The Pentagon founded its a private sector project, the Highlands Forum, during the Clinton administration in 1994, according to the Surge Intelligence Project. So here's the Clintons involved, and USAID is all about that, yet you don't see the reports I've seen and the people that are doing some of the studies. Clinton is not necessarily directly involved. The people that are involved with the Clintons, their foundations are. So this is another interesting little sidestepping that's gone on, and how people understand how to keep themselves safe. They're the movers and the shakers behind the scenes that are right up front as well. But together, the defense contractors, the group hammered out a strategy for network-centric warfare. 9/11 terrorist attacks were seized upon by the U.S. spy agencies to justify not only military invasions across the Muslim world, but also mass surveillance of civilian populations. And I think that was a plan, so it's backwards. It's not that they seized on it. They were just waiting to implement it. CIA steps in. CIA's Massive Digital Data Systems program, which originated in the 1990s, was designed to enhance query techniques and track users' digital footprints. To better serve its goals, in 1999, the CIA established its own venture capital firm, InQtel, to invest in potentially useful technologies. PhD students at Stanford University, Sergey Brin and Larry Page, were working on precisely such a tech startup. Sergey Brin and Larry Page are running on top of this as the CIA is investing in it. The design of the search engine and algorithm that ultimately evolved into Google was funded by the CIA grants through a program aimed at enhancing mass surveillance capabilities. Did you get that? The design and the search engine and algorithms that ultimately evolved into Google was funded by CIA grants. So behind the scenes, they're putting it to get it out into your hands so that you can consume it and use it. Whistleblower Edward Snowden revealed in 2013 that the NSA had direct access to Google systems through its secret prison program, enabling the agencies to harvest vast amounts of data on American citizens, Washington's allies, and foreign nationals. For whatever Trump wants to say, we're protecting our allies, they will infringe on them. The ex-CIA spooks are employed in almost every department at Google, according to a 2022 report based on analysis of employment websites. Google has been slapped with multiple lawsuits stemming from its history of data misuse and privacy violations. Well, you know who's behind the scenes? It doesn't really matter, and that's just going to be a little bit of a, it makes it look like Google's paying, having to pay their, you know, do what they do, but they pay the fine. People think, okay, well, there's justice being done, and it's the furthest from the truth. It's, again, just a distraction, a diversion. It's the price of doing business. It's the price of doing business of an intelligence agency. You make it look like you're all normal. You make it look like your company's vulnerable. And continuing, moving on here, again, part of this USAID thing that had been going on and the contentions that are going on in the world, part of the world stepping up and protecting itself a bit, can't go quite too far. Moving this into the Southern Hemisphere, and I wonder how much USAID helped this country in what it was fending off, as we reported a little bit about it before. In other countries, the same story keeps going on, and the same method, you see the same method being worked through. But exactly what I talked about a couple of episodes ago, the local authorities here, you'll read, you can see in the story that local authorities must confirm and not accept the promoted suspicions of usurpers to their local law. And you have to insist on demanding compliance from local health officials. We want to make this big and grand, and it's global and globalist. And I showed you in our, especially in the United States, and then I found out over a bit of time studying, it's everywhere. This local communicable disease law is pretty simple. It's a model act, essentially, that's pretty much the same everywhere you go around the world. And so it was interesting to be able to extend this out from the United States into that, where we have a governmental establishment distinction in the world between the federal and the state being distinct and separate powers. And that's not necessary anywhere at all, but the law, communicable disease law, the health law was all the same. Pretty interesting. But you have to confirm this local law. It's not global. There's no authority out there for it. And you have to insist on that, demanding compliance from the local health official in these issues. Because remember, you got the USAID with all of its money and influence and the people and the organizations coming to overwhelm the information sector with the proper thought, if you will. And so we didn't have much chance behind the woodshed, but we did what we could. We said what we said. We showed the factual elements to how you did that for yourself. And that was the best that we could do. And it was no wonder what we're up against. And we see that those of us that never did, not just those that would be listening mind to woodshed, but those that had a sense of a problem and didn't just run with it, we saw how much attack that they got. But we still are here, see? And so it's coming out in this reshuffle of things, what we were actually up against. So within this context of moving something USAID would be involved in relative to medicines and things. In fact, it was someone, I think Ian Carroll, he did a company search and found out one company has gotten the most amount of money, $17 billion or something like that. And all they do is they run medicines around the world for the most part. And then the other part of it, the problem is, and this is where I think the money laundering part is, he found that only 7% of the goods that they shipped actually got to their destination. And so the rest is out there somewhere or not, or being used and resold again. And so the little bit more scheme behind the schemes. But within this medicine thing and the imposition that goes on and the broad spectrum information that's out there to convince you is what you're up against. You ought to be able to see here as well when I get to this story, another aspect of that last episode relative to the foreign health experts, such as the CDC and Palantir, they conspire to fabricate that error-prone AI is the expert with any say over your health matters, that they have an authority to displace that local law and due process controls, or even your doctor. It doesn't exist, and we found this, anybody who read it in their countries, it was all the same. You have those controls and you have those protections. It isn't globalist at that point, but you have to insist. And the only way I've figured you can do that before I even got to the great Kovacs windows, you read the black and white, your local law, understand it. It on any subject matter. But this report in this country, Tanzania, denies deadly virus outbreak amid WHO accusations. Now, I know there's been a report that said that they've done a check and found one, but listen to this story first, and we'll find out it wasn't an outbreak, at least, if you find the next story. But this story, holding out against like things like USAID, their influence, the WHO, their influence, the collaboration that goes on to subvert people, their rights, their property, their health, is exposed here in this story, which actually preceded the USAID story. I just haven't been able to get to it till right now. But it all fits into what USAID was doing in regime change, population control, population program control, all the things that we've understood come up and about. And as I show, the WHO, the WHO, not the rock group, they're all the little people from Whoville, but the World Health Organization is actually a pharma broker. That they're there to produce the pharmaceuticals upon the world and broker them in a way that makes it look like they're needed. And in Comey Swindle, every local administrator, health administrator, lost their minds, and the people agreed. And so we watched what happened. But the UN Health Agency has announced an outbreak of suspected Marburg disease in the Kagera region. Tanzania's Ministry of Health has denied the presence of the Ebola-like Marburg virus in the country, confirming that laboratory tests of suspected cases of the lethal disease in the Kagera region were negative. This follows reports by the World Health Organization of suspected cases. And I want to point this out. Any of you that read your local communicable disease law, and the Tanzania Ministry of Health is saying it exactly right. There's a report issued by a doctor or healthcare worker, typically, of a suspected case that fits the list of communicable diseases for which the health ministry would step in and do a more diligent study over. That's not a suspected case, isn't even an outbreak. It's still suspected. But this, nobody in the world insisted on that be made public, or got it be made public, that that happened in the great Comey swindle. So again, reading this article, this news, notice to us, news to us, as exactly what the nation, the Ministry of Health is doing on Marburg should have been done on the great Comey swindle in every jurisdiction around the world. The country's health minister said in a statement released on Wednesday that all suspected individuals were negative for Marburg virus. And this local protection extends to the local health officials keeping the WHO at least at arm's length away from any authority to decide. The article goes on, during a virtual press conference held in Geneva on Thursday, WHO Director General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus urged Tanzania to submit the collected samples to international reference laboratories and gather additional samples in line with standard procedures. In response to the WHO's concerns, Tanzania emphasized having strengthened its health surveillance system to detect and respond promptly to threats. And so here they tried to, the WHO tried to insert itself and disrespect local health ministry's abilities, and Tanzania responds correctly to say that they've even strengthened what they have. But I want to point out, not relative to Marburg, but relative to the great Comey swindle, where was the test that they could have done, that they could have strengthened? Now, we're not talking about the great COVID swindle, but this is what Tanzania and every government ministry, health ministry, should have done right here. They say that they took the samples, they did the test, they were negative. In this case, we found out there was no test. Aside, the point is, they're going by, you're watching, anybody who did the research, or those that will do the research for themselves, find that Tanzania is responding right through their own local health code. And they're being pressured by the WHO and likely USAID, and then CDC, American CDC, is sitting right there with them. So understand the pressure this ministry was over and the hoops they had to jump through to not jump through the hoops and submit to an authority that wasn't. See, as soon as Tanzania turned over these samples, they'd agreed that the standards weren't met, that they may have been a mistake, and they agree that the WHO is more authoritative to do that. So Tanzania responded perfectly here. So that's the proper response, to keep that vampire behind that locked door. And I think Tanzania was being diplomatic, not taking an objection to old Tedros questioning their capacity by his assertion as an insult to its sovereignty, Tanzanian sovereignty. Read this news, this story here. That's how it's done. That's how the Great Kombi Swindle should have been done, at least the first steps. And that ought to have been done everywhere in the Great Kombi Swindle. I just can't say that enough. But it wasn't. And people worldwide did not insist. As I said, you weren't forced, because the law gave you due process that you could insist upon. And that would require the duty and obligation to be met by the official before you could even be asked to do a thing. And then who is asked but the doctor and the patient? And it's their decision. Okay, so anyway, this was an example of how, even though it's not the great Kombi Swindle, that one looks like it could be made up at some point too. There could be a real one, and there could be this false thing, that the synthetic one. But not looking at that, you see exactly right here in this story how a government should have acted. And I want to say that over and over, because 80% of the world essentially ran themselves into harm's way and didn't have to. It really kind of irks me a bit. And so this year we get the word that CDC is working with the likes of Palantir to get AI to be the overlearning health expert, no different than the WHO tried to step in through the medical predictive medicine that health officials will bow to in their election to their local duties, to your further irreparable harm. As I pointed out before in the other episode, you can see that here if they were to allow that. Because, you allowed them to blockchain you into the cyber gulag along with your doctor. And this is a mental thing as well, so don't underestimate, again, this cognitive warfare, and it's working on people. But you see in this story, as I've explained regarding the foreign attack, that local protection, when a government takes responsibility to its people, is seriously is shown here. And they tell the WHO and the CDC to go pound sand, essentially, with your suspicions that they want to be imposed on the government. And they say, no, you don't get to have an opinion, nor determine our methods to keep our people safe and free from being terrorized, essentially, is what the external foreign force was doing. But besides, they would go on and say, even the WHO agreed, even if it were something, that it was only an outbreak, not even an epidemic, let alone a meaningless pandemic, right? Tedros would be claiming, where he proves he's an invasive war criminal, to impose that way. So there's a real power here that went on. And there's an admission within the statement that Tedros did to show that it wasn't even within the jurisdiction, even if they had power. Again, you're not within ICC. It doesn't matter. So why did Trump say, yeah, I mean, you can't go after Putin either? So we're going to cut your power completely here. You're just an advisory group to the UN. That's good enough. And we will look at what you have to say. And I would say that would be fair enough. But Trump doesn't do that. No, he's going to say they have an authority that they can say no to someone without jurisdiction, and yet Russia and Putin cannot. The same thing here. Tanzania say, no, you get out of here. You don't have jurisdiction, and we're not going to let you imply that you have the standards that we need to meet. So maybe we should call this guy at the WHO Tedros Yehu, like the apparent genocidal Satan Yehu, the way it ends up working down, and where the future that they want are bringing it, but the techno swamp is bringing on. What USAID may have initiated is going to be adjusted. There's a realignment going on. And so this thing with the WHO, Tanzania did a good job, I thought you'd need to hear about, and it's probably a good thing. Again, Trump's bringing good things, but are they all the things? Are they everything we need? Are they really what we need? What can he do only for how long anyway? All these questions sit there. So he starts the initiative, and he did a good thing to get out of the WHO. And being it turns out it was a Green New Deal, as I've explained as well, the WHO announces sweeping cuts ahead of the U.S. exit of that organization. Not much different a story than the USAID. And I say this thing about Trump, he's a real hard thing to comment on. Because he's going to do some things that we all want to see and we needed to see. We needed to see it from every administration. But It's not the whole truth, if you will. It's not everything we need. There's violations of law. There's agreements that they're going to violate international norms. You saw it in the Google capitulation. Why? Because there's money. It's lucrative. That's all there was. No, not your health, not your welfare. No, none of that. Washington will quit the UN Public Health Agency within a year in line with President Trump's executive order. To mitigate, see, this is the other thing, the failure about this. There should have been also an acknowledgement that there was never a WHO authority in the United States relative to even evidenced in the IHR 2005 reservation that the United States government, federal, put in there relative to the establishment and sovereignty of the states over its local health issues. See, the president doesn't even have to do that. He could have just come out and said, no, you don't have authority here, and here's why, and let everybody know. But no, he makes a big deal about, I'm going to get us out. And I've told you, if the next guy comes in, the next woman comes in to the office of presidency, they can undo all this if it's just an executive policy. You heard that in the stories before. To mitigate the financial strain, the WHO is freezing recruitment, except in the most critical areas, and significantly reducing travel expenditure, according to the document. The WHO is a coordinating authority on international health issues. Listen to that word relative to advisory council laws for the United States. The WHO cannot be a coordinating authority. It has none. You have to have an authority, a power, before you can be a coordinator. You have to be a lawful government. By definition, they're non-governmental. So they're lying right there. But if you don't have the eyes to see, you can see how the lie works out. It's what I told you about Jefferson Mining District. It's acknowledged as a miner's government, lawful, acknowledged by Congress. I'm not fabricating a government there. No, Congress already recognized it. We created the district so we could have coordinating power, not collaborative or cooperating power, like the advisory council Elon Musk is running. He's not doing anything, I keep telling you. They say he's doing it. He should just find his place and be quiet. If Trump wants to give him credit, great. That's fantastic. But he should pipe down and put himself back in the place of an advisory system collaborating. Can be cut out and disregarded at any time. He's not a coordinating authority. And so the WHO is claiming an authority that it doesn't have. And that's what Trump should actually be saying. But anyway, I'm not Trump. I'm not going to be Trump. And no one listens to the guy behind the woodshed on these important matters except my listener. So please tell people to show up. Maybe it takes a while to get to the really important nuggets. Maybe not. Maybe they're all nuggets. I hope they are all nuggets. But those ones that you find for yourself, you have the ears to hear it, are very important that I'm bringing here. So don't ever forget, this foreign non-governmental organized criminal syndicate coordinated with the local health official to break local law. They beat us, shot us, imprisoned us, censored us, have built and operated a quarantine prison, all contrary to law and lawful due process requirements to you all. And we hear hardly a peep. Also remember, coordination is only to be done between governmental agencies. Okay? I said this about Jefferson Mining District. These are very important things to understand. I'm not so sure people really do. These coordinating bodies are not dismissible advisory councils, advisory commissions. And then you see it, the DOJ is temporary. Yes, every specific subject matter an agency needs advice on is how temporary it really is. And you see that they put a time limit on even when that advisory council is going to advise the clerk of the White House for Trump. And there is, ironically, additional health and environmental benefits to ridding ourselves for the WHO. Who? No, yes. The World Health Organization in name only. That's who. Ah, man, these people. And they got around us, and there was no reason for it, and the black and white was there to protect us. All the meetings are now mandated to be fully virtual unless, in exceptional circumstances, the missions the countries are to be limited to the most essential as they attempt to continue to survive without the United States money. We should have never, ever really gone over there. Talk about fraud, waste, and abuse. It's a fraud to make it sound like an authority when your authority is in your local states. Everybody seems to not understand that. So that's the kind of mandates you want, though, isn't it? If there's going to be non-governmental organizations limited to going cyber meetings, It would also limit the foreign oppressor's ability to communicate. Lines of communication are shut down. And then only those that can find it. It's pretty cool, my thought. So no more Gaia-killing carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gas-creating death flights, as it's used United States funds to broker pharmaceuticals globally, as they did in the great Comey swindle now either. So there's an additional benefit Trump gave us. And who'd have thunk that, huh? I didn't know Trump was such a Gaia worshiper to be so considerate. That is 5D, folks. 5D right there. Or is it really just more likely than 5D, non-governmental organized hypocrisy like the rest of the jet-setting celebrity dupes? And also, never forget, no, not just Benghazi. Don't forget, climate change is not about the weather. And you know, as I think about that, climate change is not about the weather. There's a massive, much deeper truth evidencing a much more comprehensive awareness. So you think people that say they're spreading the truth would respond to that and send it out to others. This word, you get behind a woodshed, these doses of reality. You'd think I'd get more response from the phrase and many others on ex-Twitter too, but as usual, I get crickets. Does that also evidence a general lack of awareness? Oh, and as I say that, to everyone retweeting, re-ex-tweeting my post, thank you very much. As I'm looking through this in my mind, as I go through these subject matters, where is that information going? Who's on it? Who is passing it around? Thank you for doing that. And that's where this re-ex-tweeting became very helpful to me, looking through some of these posts. And people, you retweet my stuff, and I can't see. I'm pretty limited. What Twitter did to me, I don't really see what I used to. It's different, and I don't have any exposure. I can't follow anybody. Anyway, it's limited. So when you retweet, I get to see that what I did. It's lost if I don't. And so retweeting was helpful. I hadn't fully appreciated actually the utility from this though that I'd used it in parts. And I, like this week, if you see the notifications that I get or whoever retweets my stuff. Like James Jensen retweeted like 13 of my replies and posts relatively all at the same time he found. And good to hear from you again, James. Glad to see you there. So I could see that list. It was really kind of interesting, that long list. And it was more chronological, which I used to get on my feeds from Twitter. Elon Musk not involved in that. Anyway, so someone retweeting a lot of what I did, and I'm asking you to retweet if you find value in it. Let people know about this stuff because of the sheer number allowed me to get it more quickly relative to the subject matter of the replies I normally sent out relative to the content. Otherwise, it gets very hard to track down along with any other features that it disappeared from my feeds. Now, I don't get them in my account feed. In the past, I had things to reply to. So this last episode, I was able to go through my 13 James Re-X Twitters and find a number of replies all in one spot that were relevant to the broadcast content to highlight those that are almost lost to me. So thank you all for doing that. I really hadn't noticed that before. Having them all in an order was very, very helpful. I could go back around and pull things together. Again, it comes through my notification. I don't get that in my normal feed. It doesn't even go through my posts. So I was able to also locate one from Gary L. when I started to see how this was working. But I didn't get to that content to reference it here in this broadcast. But it was a cool workaround to the longtime Twitter obstructions, the functionality to me that I hadn't noticed before. And it's getting a lot more difficult to keep up. So that was a real time saver. Otherwise, ex-Twitter has been fairly mediocre, I guess, to my mind, to use and incorporate in the broadcast, as I used to do a lot more, to offer these pathways for additional study and insight. I'm reflecting off of this stuff as it comes to me, in real time. In real short order, but it ends up coming together, actually, to support what's going on in the broadcast. So, and that's what I use that for, essentially. But Trump is an advocate of the Green New Deal and health in eliminating the WHO participating in state matters. Well, he doesn't know that, but given the great Comey swindle attack at Warp Speed, but who'd have thunk it? That he actually is helping Gaia by making them stay on the digital in the digital gulag themselves. That's pretty cool. I don't think he understands that. But maybe he does. Who knows? But and then this very disturbing, if not predictable, turn of events in this week. Very, very critical. U.S. in a statement, and I don't know, again, this guy, floating ideas, but man, the stuff he's talking about doing is deadly serious. And anyway, we'll just read a little bit. The U.S. will take over Gaza, says Trump. U.S. President announced a plan to raise the Palestinian enclave and turn it into the Riviera of the Middle East for the people of the world. The U.S. will take control of Gaza, President Donald Trump has proposed, pledging to rebuild the war-torn Palestinian enclave and create economic opportunities for its future residents. When asked if the U.S. troops would be deployed, Trump vowed to do what is necessary. Speaking on Tuesday following a meeting with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu at the White House, Trump reiterated his view that Palestinians should be permanently resettled elsewhere, adding that the U.S. would take over Gaza and lead efforts to clear the destruction left by 15 months of war between Israel and Hamas. The U.S. will take over Gaza Strip and we'll do a job with it too. We'll own it and we'll be responsible for dismantling all the dangerous unexploded bombs and other weapons on the site, Trump said, promising to level the site and get rid of the destroyed buildings. Now, I'm not going to read more, but that requires that if have any control, likely U.S. troops, your sons and daughters, United States, American blood and treasure over a enclave in Israel, in Palestine, actually. Now, when I saw this story, I could not believe he's actually broaching this. But talking about realigning and moving outside of not violating international norms, this is such a disgrace. Morally, this is just reprehensible. And I'm not really sure what I can say more about it. We either recognize how reprehensible this really is, and we'll start to figure out how we're going to push back on it. Again, because it reflects on Trump, the developer, thinking that he could just run roughshod where he can get away with it. It's your property at home. And if you notice, a lot of activity has been done outwardly and not inwardly. And I told you before, is all this Soros-connected leveraged infrastructure is already in the United States working against us. But Netanyahu came out, because they had to clarify this point, that Netanyahu denies Trump talked about U.S. troops in Gaza to him. Now, do whatever it takes. But then you look at what that's going to do. It's not a peacemaker dropping in there. Oh, it's might, all right. But not peace through strength. Actually, the people over there aren't going to go for it. Did Trump ask them? See, my problem about this is the property law. Where was Trump's right title and interest to Gaza, let alone Palestine, let alone Israel's right title and interest that they cannot prove, which I've done a couple of analyses on to show you that there's no way to prove it. And yet, if they did have a right to the land, there wasn't a necessary to commit genocide in order to integrate those that may want to move there. But Netanyahu denies Trump talked about American troops. They had to smash that down real quick. As I told you, your American sons and daughters are looking like they're being positioned to go over there. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has dismissed claims that U.S. President Donald Trump suggested deploying American troops to Gaza. On Tuesday, during a joint press conference, Netanyahu, Trump announced that the U.S. will take over the Gaza Strip, level buildings destroyed in the war between Israel and Hamas, and turn the territory into the Riviera of the Middle East. Again, we can read more and more of this. They're in a real interesting problem. Netanyahu also said that they have that job. However, Israeli party leader calls Trump messenger of God, which I took that as kicked down a couple pegs. Because he was the Messiah. Now he's just a messenger of God. No, they don't tell you which God. And so be very, very careful. And remember, Trump did not put his hand on these Bibles. I was also reading where he may have joined Zionism. I don't know how you do that, more than a political movement. The point is there was an interesting problem with him not putting the hand on the Bible, even though the Constitution doesn't require a test. And I mentioned that to watch. Well, now he's a messenger of God. He's not the Messiah. And he's doing the bidding of the Zionist political movement. It's not a religion. The leader of Israel's ultra-Orthodox Shah's party, again, politics, has claimed the United States President Donald Trump is acting as a messenger of God for the Jewish people. Now, this was based on his claim for that land by the United States itself. And don't underestimate that new sovereign fund that Trump has just signed it, penned into law, what these properties, all these properties can be put into to value it. However, this is not talking about the Palestinian people. If Trump is the messenger of God to the so-called Jewish people. So there's a big disconnect right here. And the problem as we move this thing through, why I'm becoming so concerned about it, and its destruction of the international norms, how we all would interact with each other, and what that reduces our property rights in America, starts to reduce down in how they start to take us, and it goes back to the military. You don't go back to the military unless you're going to kill somebody. And biblically, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not murder, I guess it is. And so, blessed are the peacemakers, not the ones that talk about it, but the ones that actually do it. And so I was wondering here going through, and I did this a couple weeks ago with the Hegseth condition, and looking at what he claims himself to be, and this is the guy that Trump will be going to do whatever the military is then asked to do relative to doing the job. So along with this messenger of God theme, and notice that Trump is, again, kicked down a couple pegs, to just a messenger, not the Messiah. Trump's agent at the Defense Department that will be executing any of the military options, however denied right now, is Pete Hegseth, who was confirmed. He's now authorized to be in the place. He said he was that Christian Zionist. And that statement just confuses me a bit, that term. It just confuses me a bit. As I said, it seems like an oxymoron on the surface. But it's not really, because Christian is a religious belief, faith, and Zionism is political. And we're going to get that here in a moment. I told you I used AI to kind of go through this quickly after I asked it. So I said, and I teased last episode, that term facially is incongruent, and ideologically, it's ideological, but it's not logical. So not having much time, I allowed AI to be my guide, and I asked my questions a couple times in different ways as I explained to get a more proper answer without the programmed bias loading that goes into the answers that they come up with. But it turns out getting through that inbred bias, claiming to be a Christian Zionist is the same global wokeism and foreign allegiance the Republican right claims it eschews. So listen very carefully to this answer, which I'll take as accurate for our general purposes here. But know that there are many more clarifications which need to be made. If you read through the paragraphs, each paragraph is like a deception in a way. It has to be more clarified. It's very generalized and looks incorrect unless you just read it and accept it. So there's more and more problems that AI brings into itself when you understand how to confine its world. But I'm not going to go that deep. We'll just accept what it says on the front, because that bias explains a whole lot that I didn't quite appreciate. And I've already said the punchline. But we'll go through, the machine glosses over to justify a justification as if it were programmed by a woke Zionist as well. So I asked the question of the machine learning program, where Christian biblical commandments are not to kill and to be a peacemaker, the Zionist political movement is killing Palestinians, how is the term Christian Zionist congruent? Now, the answer, you know, listen for the anomalous biblical interpretations as well here, understanding that the state of Israel isn't a religious institution, but a political one. And also listen for the sustainable development code words for the future that they want, that even a pope will love as well. And I'll try to emphasize those code words as I read through them to highlight them. So the question again, where Christian biblical commandments are not to kill and to be a peacemaker, and the Zionist political movement is killing Palestinians, how is the term Christian Zionist congruent? The answer from AI, the term Christian Zionist presents a complex and seemingly contradictory intersection of ideologies. On the one hand, Christian biblical teachings emphasize the importance of principles such as nonviolence, love, and peacemaking. These teachings include commandments to not kill and to seek harmony among individuals and communities. Conversely, the political Zionist movement, particularly in context with the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, has been associated with actions that result in violence, including the killing of Palestinians. The congruence of the term Christian Zionist lies in the ways in which individuals who identify as such reconcile these seemingly contradictory beliefs. Christian Zionists often interpret the Bible in a way that aligns with their support to the state of Israel, viewing the establishment and protection of Israel as fulfilling biblical prophecy. They may believe that by supporting Israel, they are playing a role in the fulfillment of God's plan. This support for Israel, however, can sometimes be perceived as condoning or overlooking acts of violence carried out by the Israeli government in the name of self-defense or territorial security. I'm going to interject real quick. There's no right of self-defense. I've been through that. Back to the AI's response. In essence, the term Christian Zionist reflects a nuanced, a multifaceted worldview that seeks to harmonize religious beliefs with political realities. While the core tenets of Christianity emphasize peace and nonviolence, the overlay of Zionist beliefs can create a complex moral landscape for individuals who identify with both ideologies. Ultimately, the congruence of being a Christian Zionist is found in the nuanced interpretations and justifications individuals may employ to navigate the tensions between their faith-based values and political allegiances, which I say is only justifying feelings, forcing interpretations, justifying allegiance to foreign power to commit atrocities that the God they purport to hasten condemns, and in part why it's not congruent, because, well, wokeism, folks. Identity politics right here. I don't like your buy. Can't happen. You can't have two masters, but enough there. You can think about what I just read from AI. Very enlightening to me on what this really is, and it is such a danger, ultimately, that is being relied upon by the realignment of values in the current administration of the United States. This has been BTW RLM 615, and I'll be with you next week. Tech diffs or nature willing.
Echoes call, the hour is near. Behind the woodshed, the truth you'll hear. Every Sunday, the clock strikes three. Hal's voice rolls like thunder, piercing. By dose behind the woodshed, no stone unturned. House words ignite, the airwaves burn. Stand up, listen, it's time to learn. Behind the woodshed, where truths are earned. Law to liberty, the spectrum line in house court, no place to hide. A can of wood bass, ready to burst for unspoken truths and unquenchable thirst. Behind the woodshed. No stone unturned, house words ignite, the airwaves burn. Stand up, listen, it's time to learn. Behind the woodshed, where truths are earned. So mark the time when Sunday comes. Behind the woodshed, beating drums, house voice, a beacon, fierce and bold. Then fight the truth. Thank you.
next week, heed the call. Behind the woodshed, standing tall.